Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we just love being in Your presence, yes. Lord. And that's what we ask for this day, Lord. That Your Spirit would just come, Lord, and that You would have Your way, Lord. That You would rest upon each person that is here this day, Lord. As we always preach in this church, Lord, that we are independently dependent on You. That You would speak to us as an individual. That You would, Lord, share Your heart just for each one of us, Lord. And yet we ask that You would just come in power, Lord, and bless this congregation. Bless us as we go into worship. Bless us as we hear the Word. Just bless us as we just fellowship with each other, Lord. As we talk to each other, as we hug each other. So we thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day. In Jesus' name.
All right, everyone, if you'd return to your seats, please. Communion's almost done being passed out. So today, you know, communion is a way for us to celebrate our intimate connection and ongoing relationship with Jesus. This is a time of strengthening, of realizing the hope we have in Jesus, and knowing that we have someone who guides us and gives us counsel each and every day. And so communion, for now, while we're doing it corporately, is for you individually. So take a little moment to talk to the Lord. He's here. And He was here early this morning as they were practicing. And it's really amazing to hear them. So you get to feel the Holy Spirit here. And He's in this room. And He's waiting to touch your life. And so when we take communion, realize that this is about you. Because He died for each one of us. Yes, He died corporately, for our church, but right now this is about you personally. So if there's something that you need to really reach Him about, this is the time. This is the wonderful time of this, the first Sunday of the month, to be able to know that corporately we will do this together. And there's something to be said about unity, that when we do things in unity, it just strengthens us and gets us ready for His coming. Because we need to be unified with all the other churches. It's not going to matter what our name is out there on the front of the church. What's going to matter is that we believe in Jesus Christ and that we will be joined together with Him, you know, Jews and Gentiles alike, because He's coming for all of us. But that's if we decided to choose Him. Because remember, you have free will and you have the ability to choose or not. I can tell you this, there's joy and there's wonderment in having Him in your life. If you don't have Him in your life, today's the day. And be strengthened. Be ready to make a difference in this world. We live in a very confused world. We live in a world that's full of conflict. But you know what? We don't have to be a part of that. We can be the person that is going to bring peace to others. You know, it's shalom to all. And that's one of the traits that we need to be having as individuals, is that we will be peacemakers. When Jesus walked the earth, you didn't hear condemnation from Him. You saw Him love even when these people were unlovable. He just loved. So why should we be any different? We need to all be able to participate in what He has for us. When we take communion, He empowers us to go out there and to share the gospel. We all need hope, all of us. Just like when we come here, it feels so good to hug one another, to shake hands, to walk in whatever it is that God has for you. We need to share that. And you know, your testimony is so important. So be encouraged and know that God is with you. And He died so that you could have that new covenant with Him. And so now, as soon as we get this, I'd like to ask you all to please stand, if you're able. Thank you. Now, if you're new here and you don't know how this works, take the cup apart and just a little twist and you'll have the bread and you'll have your juice. So, okay. So 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So please take the bread. In the same way, then he took the cup. He said, this cup is in the, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance whenever you drink. So if you could take the cup, please. So understand that Jesus restored everything that we believe, that we often believe in ourselves. Sometimes we don't think about the fact that we were wonderfully and fearfully made. So realize that he didn't make junk. You are perfect in his eyes. He loves you, and he will help you walk through your life in anything that you do on your journey from, having bad things go wrong, and be able to know that you can navigate with him, because he said he would never leave you or forsake you. So for that, be blessed today. Thank you.
Called the In Your Image, and it's all about being transformed into the likeness and image of Jesus. That's our goal. When you become a Christian, you want to walk in the steps that Jesus walked. You want to believe what Jesus said. You want to be healed. You want to be able to walk strongly. You need to know the word. There's all these things that are required. Some people say, now you're saved once and forever. No, it doesn't always work that way. People go back to the dark side. I want to be on the light side. Amen. L-I-G-H-T. So anyway, in lieu of that, we are working on it. But is anybody here? Have they made it yet? Are we in the image yet? Nobody. That's right. Amen.
Well, you got me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So the Lord has been working with me on a variety of things. And one of the things is the words of our mouth. Is that so often we say things that go against what we've been learning, against the scriptures that we're standing on. And it's just the humanness of us that sometimes, we lose sight of what it is that God has shown us. So if you're standing on God's word for something, stand on it, believe it, and don't speak against it. When you see that God is working in your life, we just need to be praising him and thanking him. And a few weeks ago, Tommy talked about sometimes things are brought about by God, not by an attack. And there are ways to help us to grow. So I've got a perfect example here. Let me get it. And how many of you know about the biosphere in Tucson? Yeah. It's an enclosed environment. And they discovered something that was happening to the trees. That's it. They saw that trees were not growing strong. They were toppling over once they got to a certain height and weight. And so what they discovered was there was no wind in the biosphere, because they never thought about having wind in there. So that's like us. There's a scripture that talks about our trees, that our roots are planted and, they run deep. But that depends on your relationship with the Lord. That depends on what you know of the word. If you're ignorant of the word, you're not going to know that you need to be deeply rooted. And so what would happen, these trees would just topple over. And they call it stress wood. They need the wind to learn how to withstand storms and stress. So think about this. We need the Lord to help us withstand whatever. And we should know that he takes us from victory to victory, and he helps us through each and everything that we go through. There are times when we feel like so heavily under the weight, but we have to understand this, that God is carrying us.
God is standing beside us. Sometimes he's holding you, and he's like the father who's waiting for the child to come to him and say, speak to me, talk to me, share with me. We have to make this a daily habit. We need to read the word daily. So then that way, when the Holy Spirit talks to you, you don't have a doubt that it's the Holy Spirit and that you're going to be walking in his love. He is the peacemaker. We need to have peace in our homes. And, you know, isn't it something that sometimes we neglect our own family when we and yet we're doing the work of the church. We're sharing and caring, but we also need to share and care about our family. We need to be loving on them. Too often people, people's lives are lost, and it doesn't matter the age. What we've got to do is we've got to become stronger. We need to be deeply rooted. We need to look to him for everything. Every decision that you make should be with him, because we can make decisions within ourselves and say, oh, you know what? This is easy. This is a piece of cake. But did God say? So you look to him and you say, help me make this decision. And then you're going to walk in that freedom. You're going to walk in the peace and the knowledge of you're on the right track. So then that way you can appreciate those times and you can have gratitude for them. So don't be like the tree that the roots are not deep. You let them become deep because of your relationship with him.
Amen.
So have a good morning.
Hallelujah. Are you there? Okay.
Yes.
I just want to add on a little bit, kind of like what Linda was talking about, something. She's talking about families and your kids and just being there. And I thought I'd bring this up. A couple of weeks ago, I was back in the back over there, and Lord was touching my heart, and very rare that I cry, but there I was with tears coming down my eyes. And here, pretty soon I get a little guy that comes up in front of me with his mother. You all know little Ben and Micaiah.
Yeah.
And she tells me that little Ben saw me tearing up and crying. And he says, I want to go pray for Pastor John because he's got allergies. Well, he did. He came. I got down lower with him and he prayed for me. Allergies or not, how many of you adults would ever just go pray for someone? There's some of adults that are still having problems doing that. And yet we see a little guy like this. It's just natural. That guy's got tears. I need to do something. I need to be there for him. I've had Analani, Pastor Henry's granddaughter, and she's prayed for me. And I don't know if you've ever had little children pray for you. Oh, what a blessing. And I wanted to just say that because we might see this world that doesn't look too cool, doesn't look great. But look at your kids. There's hope. And it takes people like Abe and Micaiah. Takes people like Henry and Rebecca and them and Oscar to Rosie to raise these kids to know the truth. And that when they, as they grow, for them to just go out and lay hands or to spread the gospel is not going to be a task. It's going to be a part of what they do. For them to stand and raise their hands and dance, it's just who they are. And yet we have a bunch of us oldies that still have problems letting it all out for him. So don't give up on our kids. There's a lot of goodness out there. That's it.
We had a wonderful Bible study yesterday that I went to, and we talked about a little bit about coming to God as a child comes to you. You know, open arms, trusting, believing, safety, peace, all these wonderful things we find in our God. Amen? Amen. Amen. This next song, next three songs, actually. What I would, I told this to Kathy earlier, so what I would love is to look out and see every person in the room with their hands raised, singing in their prayer language. Even if you don't have one, you can sing, right?
Yep.
We can do that. That was what happened to me when I was a Jesus freak back in the 70s. I discovered this church where there were like probably 500 or 600 people, and they were all singing with their gift of tongues. And I didn't know what it was. But when I got in there and I was surrounded by it, the Lord spoke to me and said, don't be afraid. This is me speaking through them. They are by faith walking before me and praying for things that they don't even know they're praying for. But that's what that gift is about. So there are going to be places in these next couple of songs. This first one is by one of my favorite authors, a guy named Paul Balak. He's written a bunch of good ones.
Hello? Oh, much better. I got a lot of... Hello? I'm not good at saying testimonies because my heart is so sensitive. I start crying right away. I'm gonna try. I don't know if you knew that my sister has cancer, stage 4 cancer. And she was in the hospital. And then all of a sudden, they send her to hospice. And when they send them to hospice, you only last maybe a week, 3 days, 4 days. And they said she was gonna die. So we all start praying. I know the prayers are very powerful. We all start praying, and I told my brother-in-law, he's Catholic, 100% Catholic. And I told him, you don't believe in miracles. He said, God can make a miracle. And my sister and him told me, that's not going to happen. I said, people had gone out of this place. And they said, no, it's not going to happen. So I was over there for 3 days, the last week. And she was very happy to see me. We cried together. And about 4 days later, I called my sister. And she told me, they're sending Myrna home. So they're sending her home. Because she ain't dying. She ain't dying yet. Because prayers are powerful. There's a lot of churches, a lot of brothers that are praying for her. And I called my nephew. That's my daughter's son. And I asked him, how's your mom doing? He said, she's doing a lot better, and she already stand up. She stood up. So I want to thank the Lord and all of you for all the prayers. Amen.
So if you would, let's go ahead and open up with prayer. So if you would, pray with me. Lord, thank you for healing. Thank you for our brother's testimony. Thank you for the peace and the joy you bring in our lives. Thank you for always being with us, Lord. And I just ask that today, the words I speak here, the scriptures that I have, that it takes root in our hearts and it produces a good crop of fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So we just got back from camp, the youth group and us. There was seven kids that went. I don't want to talk too much about it. Yeah. You can clap for that. I don't want to talk too much about it because next week we're going to talk about it. We're going to have a video and the kids are going to be here. But it was really good. I think it was actually Zach. Were you the one that said, "I can't believe there's so many kids on fire for God"? Were you the one? I was like, I don't know. Okay, some random kid that was in our dorm for some reason said, "I can't believe so many kids are on fire for God," right? It was said in such a way, like it was encouraging that to have that, to see that. So the made me think. It's like, how are we encouraging people? You know, are we so on fire for God that it encourages other people and they want to be that way? Like, does our walk with Jesus make people want to become a Christian? You know, us representing Jesus, us showing like the miracles that can happen, right? Or just the peace and the joy that we can have despite the circumstance. Okay? How we love people, how we treat people on a regular basis. You know, do we do it in such a way that it is encouraging? Like, when people think about you, do you think that they would think is like, that person's on fire for God? I want to be like that. Because we need to get to that place. Okay, especially now in this time. You know what? Because one thing I consistently hear, I hear it, you know, with other Christians. I heard it at camp, you know, where some people are saying, you know what? Jesus is returning soon, right? Yeah. Okay, now, I don't know how soon. I don't know if it's like soon. I don't know if it's like a thousand years or like a day soon. But, you know, no matter what, we should be living our lives with a sense of urgency, yeah, right? I mean, how many times does it talk about in the Bible, like, coming like a thief in the night, right? In the twinkling of an eye. Like all these things instantly, just out of nowhere, right? Yeah. So we always have to be ready, and we always have to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. So I want to start with this, and it's just after Jesus spoke with a woman at the well. And this is John chapter 4, and this is verses 31 through 38. And it says, "Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' And then his disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have brought him food?'" It's kind of funny, right? To think that it's like, oh, well, you know, maybe somebody else brought Jesus something. That's where their mind goes to right away, right? It says, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Now, the thing about food is that if we're hungry, what do? All right? Now, most of the time, does somebody have to tell us that we need to eat?
No.
No? It's like when we eat, we just do it, right? Exactly. It's natural. Natural response. Like, I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. Okay. Now, Jesus is saying that his food is to do the will of the one who sent him and to finish his work, right? So, you know, in our lives, it should be the same. It's like we should be like so close to God, so in tune with God, that it's just natural to us to do what God has called us to do. Amen. To live a life that God wants us to live. It should just be as natural as eating. Okay, because if we heard somebody say it earlier, you know, Jesus is our example. Was it you, Steve? Yeah? We got to imitate him, right? So Paul said it too. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Now, if we're imitating Christ, what do you think we should do? How should we live our lives? We should live it in such a way that everything we do for God is just like eating. It's natural. We know everything we need to do. We don't need to like any special prompting or anything like that. We just do it. Okay. Also, it continues on and it says, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. And I want to be part of that. Anybody else want to be a part of that?
Amen.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And it says, so that the sower and reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. So, you know, it doesn't matter whether Jesus is coming back like soon or down the road, but it is up to us to actually be a part of that, trying to be part of that harvest, right?
Right.
Getting people to follow Christ. Okay, if you want to see change in this world, get people to follow Christ.
Yep.
Very simple, right?
Yeah.
So each and every one of us has to be an ambassador for Christ. Okay. So how do we do that? In 2 Corinthians, and this is chapter 5, and this is verses 13 to 21, it says this. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. Okay. A lot of people thought that Paul was this overly zealous guy, right? So it's okay if we're overly zealous. You know, a lot of times people will say that's a bad thing. It's like, oh, you're just a Bible thumper. Now, if we're using it as a way to say we're better than people, bad. Okay. But if we're using it as a way to show that we are closely following Christ, good. Okay. That's what we should do. We can be crazy for God. It's fine. So then it says this, for Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all. Okay, I want you to listen to that word. He died for who?
All.
Okay, who does that mean?
Everybody.
Okay, does it just mean the people in this room?
Nope.
Okay, now there's a chance people won't accept Christ as Lord and Savior, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is he still died for them anyways. So it said, and he, let's see, let me get convinced, died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Okay, so no longer should live for themselves. All right. First of all, who in here is alive?
Amen.
Okay, we're going to need to do some evangelism this morning. It's like, we're going to need to get some people to choose Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Did you keep your hands down because you don't want that thing about living life for yourself? Or? Oh. Because, like, it says, live. Those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Okay? Let that sink in. Right? You know, I talked about this a short time ago. It was just last month. It was like, you know, the crazy thing is that our obedience will bring us joy, not just any joy, but Jesus says that his joy will be in us and it will be complete if we follow his commands. Right? It doesn't sound logical. It doesn't sound right. Okay? But we're reading from Scripture. It is right. Okay? We have to believe what the Scripture says. So we need to make sure that our lives aren't about ourselves. Right. It's not about us bringing us honor and glory, but it's bringing honor and glory to Jesus, right? So it says here, it doesn't say, but all right. All right, so... So the question is, how do we live life for God, right? Yeah, by doing what he says. It's pretty simple, right? And like each and every one of us who believes has a very specific purpose made for our lives, right? I try to drill this into the kids all the time. You know, in the book of Ephesians says that we're all created in Christ Jesus, right? To do good works, in which he prepared good works for us to do in advance, right? Or his handiwork. Or his masterpiece. But he created stuff for us to do. Okay? So, for besides, like, I could give you the general stuff, but, you know, should ask God, how do I do that? How do I live my life, specifically my life, for you? Okay? So, it continues, it says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Okay, what do you think a worldly point of view would be? Anything not of the kingdom? That's a big one. Anything not of the kingdom? From the flesh? So what are some other things like... Could be social status, right? Could be the job somebody has. Could be a political affiliation, right? Yep. Could be what you're wearing, appearance. Right. Like if somebody's gone through, completed high school or not, college or not. Okay, during this month, it's going to be a big one. Gender. Okay? That's a worldly point of view, right? To grade people, to rate them, to value them, depending on those things. Okay? But, you know, those things, those are what people are. Okay? It's not what they can become. Okay, we have no idea what a person's potential is when they accept Jesus. It's unlimited, right?
Right.
It's amazing. It's powerful. So instead of viewing people as the enemy, we should view them as somebody that needs a savior. Exactly. Somebody that is without love, that needs love. Somebody that doesn't understand God, we need to help them find that understanding. Okay, the people act in a much different way when they don't have hope, when they don't have joy, when they think this life is all that's it, done. Like, you're going to have highs, you're going to have lows, and then that's all. Right. So it's our job, just as it says here, to regard no one from a worldly point of view. No one. Okay, it's just kind of like that word we heard earlier, all. Okay, this means no one, right?
Exactly.
So, You know, the thing is that, you know, if we are just ambassadors, which we're going to read in a moment, it's our job just to deliver the King's message and to do it in a way with love and respect. Okay. It's up to the other people to accept it. It's something where we should look at it like this. If we don't offer them Jesus, imagine what happens to them. Okay. Simple as that. That's a strong word, right? They go to hell. Do we want that for anybody?
No.
Eternal torment. So when we see people, that's how we should see. It's like, do I want to offer that person a way for eternal life? Do I want to offer them a way to have joy and peace no matter what? Do I want to offer them hope? That's the way we should look at people. Okay, not the worldly point of view. God's point of view. Okay, we, like I said, we have no idea what the potential for somebody is. Imagine if like a lot of us were around in social media days with Paul, who was Saul. Okay. Imagine how we would trash that guy. Imagine if we would say, oh, let's just wait till he messes up. He's not going to be any good. Okay. I think we've seen that kind of stuff. Does anybody know who Kanye West is? Yeah. Yeah. So like, I saw a lot of people talking about it at the time. It's like, oh, well, you know, we'll see how that turns out. Instead of like, let's pray for the guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll say that there's been some issues. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially lately. But the thing is, we should pray for somebody like that, right? We shouldn't be looking for their downfall. We shouldn't be just like, well, that's what I expected. We should be encouraging people. We should be building them up, and we should be praying for them. Okay, because we don't want what the other outcome could be. All right, we want everybody to be saved. Okay, I mean, ultimately, we can't make that choice for them where they go, but at least we can offer them Jesus and the choice. So, it says here, it says, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Okay. They thought of him from a worldly point of view, but they think no longer of that. So it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Okay.
Amen.
Yeah. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Okay, that's how we need to view us in the world. We have a ministry, every one of us. Okay, you don't need to be a pastor to have a ministry of reconciliation. Okay? That God was reconciling the word to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Okay, when you're talking to people, it's as if God is making his appeal through you. Okay? So make sure you're treating people in a way that Jesus would. So, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Because, you know, just from that line there, God paid an unimaginable price for us. And it's up to us to live in a way that honors that. That shows the world out there that we think is so dark that the gospel is true. That good news is true. Okay, that we love God. That we live for God. Not for ourselves. You know, one thing that the speaker talked about, he was talking about the 10 lepers that got healed. And how only one of them returned. Right? He's like, weren't there 9 more of you? Where did they go? Right? And one thing he brought up was this, is that many people want God to heal them, but they don't want God as Lord. So they don't want Jesus as Lord. They want the healing, but they don't want him in charge of their lives. We need to make sure that when we live our lives, that we show that how appealing it is. Because I'll tell you, like, before I started any of this, doing anything for a church, I did attend church. I did pray. I did believe. I've seen miracles. I've seen a lot. But like when I started serving God, when I started actually living my life for God in a way that I hadn't before, it changed everything. So much peace, so much joy. There are things that I would have never done, never experienced, if it had not been for me following after God. So, you know, one thing I talked about earlier too is about being the ambassadors, that we're just delivering the King's message with love and respect. Think about how Jesus offered his message to the world, right? We talked about that woman at the well, right? Like right after that is when their disciples trying to feed him. So the woman at the well, what did he do? This lady, she had been divorced like 5 times. She was living, you know, she was with a man that wasn't her husband. Did he tell her like harshly how terrible she was? He offered her something in love, right?
Yep.
And because of the way he treated her, she went back to town. She told everybody, hey, this guy, you need to come see him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's something that is appealing to people when you respect them, when you love them. I know it's crazy, but when you show love and respect, a lot of times they'll return that in kind. Think about Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Okay. You know, he came down from the tree and Jesus said, you know, I need to stay with you. And like, he offered to make up for the wrongs that he did, but Jesus didn't treat him harshly. Imagine the adulterous woman. Okay. They brought her, not the guy. Right. Okay. But imagine that. It's like, he defended her, right? He didn't be like, yeah, you know what? She needs to be stoned. Right?
Right.
Okay. It's something that, like, in this world right now, there's a lot of people that oppose us. Okay? I mean, it's no secret that things seem kind of dark. Okay? No secret. But, you know, I need to ask you, does God fail?
No.
Does anything happen that God didn't ordain?
No.
Okay. So we just need to ask ourselves, why are we in this moment? What do we need to do so that we change things? Okay. And when we see certain things like the country, the world, what is it that's driving you to act the way you do? Is it anger and fear? Or is it love and hope? Okay. Because every one of us as Christians, we should understand that we have hope. We know that God does not fail. Right? But if we give into that fear and that anger, that's going to lead us down a path that isn't going to bring glory to God. It's going to be destructive. Okay, but if we go along with the love and the hope, that's going to be healing. So, you know, it's kind of crazy. Like, I never used to see videos online about, like, school board meetings or town council, city council meetings. Now you see them like crazy, right? Okay, and you will see, like, some very angry people yelling and shouting and screaming, right? Some people doing some angry stuff, all right? There's times where I see, okay, pretty much every time, where I see a bunch of comments about Christians encouraging that kind of thing. Can I tell you something? You can fight for the truth and still be loving and respectful. It's hard to do. It takes more effort. You have to be more intentional, but it's possible, especially since we have this thing called the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Right? Walk by the Spirit. Our advocate, our counselor. Because I'm not saying we don't fight for the truth, because we always should fight for the truth. But what I'm saying is we need to do it in a way that's opposite of what the world does. Yeah. Okay? We need to be those people that are gentle, kind, humble, understanding. And that's the thing, is like, you can be understanding but not accepting of certain things, right?
Right.
We need to make sure it's like, it's in the book of James, that we control our tongue, right?
Yep.
Let's see. I think I... That's why we got the Holy Spirit. Because it does say that no man can tame the tongue, but we don't need a man to do that. We need the Holy Spirit. It's like, do your work. So it says this in James chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Simple. Should not be. Don't do it. But it, you know, back to camp. What I saw was amazing, right? People would show up like half an hour early for prayer. Okay, two of our kids were down at the front of the altar, like every time, just kneeling and praying. Okay, when it was worship time, like 90% of the kids would rush to the front of the stage. Okay, there was jumping. There was hand raising. There was joy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Hallelujah.
But I mean, there was times where it didn't, like, especially with prayer, didn't like start off like a whole lot of people, but it'd be just a few, and then more, and then more, and then more, because it's natural for us to follow an example, right? We feel comfort when there's numbers. A lot of times. Now, we have to be the people, of course. They have to be okay with getting uncomfortable. Right? To be the ones that go to the front. Like this Aaron guy here. And we have to be comfortable with, you know, people seeing us just out there, exposed, open. Because You know, ultimately, we shouldn't be worried about how people perceive us. We should be worried about how God sees us. It's this thing too, like I was talking about the tongue is, you know, if you see people shouting for joy, if you see people clapping because they're happy,
yeah.
What happens? Is it usually just one person?
No.
Yeah, it's, there you go. Okay, it's just one person. but normally what happens is like a whole group of people join in on that, right?
That's it.
Because that joy is something that people just, it's contagious, right? Yeah. People want to be a part of that, okay? Yeah. Same thing goes for when you're angry and shouting at people, okay? A lot of people, especially too, like in response, as you're shouting at them or you're angry with them, you're going to get that anger back, right? Okay? It's the thing where like people will join you kind of like at your level where you're at. Now us, okay, we should always be doing the right thing, no matter what people say, right? No matter how we're treated. You know, we don't know what people are going through. We don't know the moment that somebody's in, the life that they're currently living. You know, if we think about the things that we're going on, that are going on in our own lives, we should, you know, understand that it's possible that those other people are going through the same thing, right? The other thing I want you to make sure that you remember is that, you know, we do operate from a place of hope. Place of joy, place of victory, right?
Yep.
Victory means we win.
Amen.
Okay? And it's not as something to hold over people, but it's something where we are secure and safe where we're at. That we are operating from a position of strength, right?
Yep.
And here's the thing, is that strong people shouldn't, you know, they don't fight other people. They fight for them. Okay, we shouldn't be fighting other people because, you know, we know we're going to win or we want our way. We should be fighting for people because of the alternative we talked about earlier. We don't want to see anybody in eternal torment. We should be working towards getting those people to follow Jesus, to understand the love that God has for all of his creation. Here's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is verses 4 through 7. I think a lot of people like to read this at weddings, but it applies to everything. It says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So here's the last thing about like how we should conduct ourselves, how we show the world how amazing it is to follow God.
Yep.
And here's the first, and this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 24. It's in the Amplified. And it says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to appreciate those who diligently work among you. Recognize, acknowledge, and respect leaders who are in charge over you in the Lord and who give you instruction. And we ask that you appreciate them and hold them in the highest esteem and love because of their work on your behalf. It can be hard to lead. It could be, I mean, there's things that you have to take on that you wouldn't realize. There's a lot of hurting people. You need help. There are things where you have to be dedicated in a way that a lot of people aren't. So I want to do this real quick. But if you're a leader or like a board member, anything like that, I know some of them are gone. Like if you lead like, well, I guess Rosie's not here, cleaning crew, but like school, nursery, any of that, would you stand up? Okay, these people here, pray for them. Encourage them. Honor them. Okay, like after service, maybe even talk to them. But keep all these people in your prayers. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for being faithful to God and his work. So then it goes on. It says, live in peace with one another. We earnestly urge you, believers, admonish those who are out of line, the undisciplined, the unruly, and the disorderly. Encourage the timid, who lack spiritual courage. Help the spiritually weak. Be very patient with everyone. Okay. Not just believers.
Everyone.
Okay. Always controlling your temper. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek that which is good for one another and for all people. Okay, there's a lot of alls in here, huh?
Yeah.
It's just not believers, it's people out there. All. Unbelievers. Okay, keyword all. All right. Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Okay, that's a big one. Okay, no matter what you're going through, rejoice. And don't look at your faith as something that's just like tacked onto your life. Like I get brownie points, a gold star for being a Christian. But delight in your faith. Okay. And it says, be unceasing and persistent in prayer. That's a good one, right, Pastor John? In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. Amen. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's what God wants. Do not quench, subdue, or be unresponsive to the working and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Okay, if the Holy Spirit's guiding you to do something, you should probably do it.
Yeah.
Don't be unresponsive, right? Because that Holy Spirit, that's God right there.
Yeah.
Okay? That's him. Do not scorn or reject gifts of prophecy or prophecies, spoken revelations, words of instruction or exhortation or warning. But test all things carefully so you can recognize what is good. Okay.
Yeah.
Pastor John just said it earlier. We're independently dependent on God.
Yeah.
Okay. The things that we say up here, right? Anything you hear from anybody, you don't just accept it. Anything you see on the internet, anything you see, you know, just anywhere. And reading a book, you don't just accept it. But you go back to the scripture and you see it in context. What comes before? What comes after? What is it truly saying? Like, Holy Spirit, show me. Is this true?
Yeah.
Then you can accept it. Okay?
Yeah.
It says, hold firmly to that which is good. Simple one. Abstain from every form of evil. Withdraw and keep away from it. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, that is, separate you from profane and vulgar things, make you pure and whole and undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for his purpose. Holy. Because that's what that word means. Set apart for his purpose. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete and be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful and absolutely trustworthy is he who is calling you to himself for your salvation, and he will do it. He will fulfill his call by making you holy, guarding you, watching over you, and protecting you as his own. So, I'll say, do you want to see a godly country, a godly world? Then let's fill it with godly people. Let's show people a better way. In Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25, part of this is actually the youth group's verse here, but it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So we have a lot of work to do. But know this, is that God always wins. Let's encourage one another and show each other what it means, and the world, what it means to be a believer in Christ.
Amen.
So before we go, if you would, bow your heads with me. Lord, thank you so much for always being faithful to us. Yes. That all your promises are yes
and amen.
And, amen. And God, I just ask that you help us to realize those things that are in our life that we need to change, that our hearts are guarded, that we just get closer to you, that we find our way in this world, what we're supposed to do for you, Lord, and that we do it to the fullest, that brings you honor and glory and shows people a better way, and it shows people that there is love out there, there is joy out there, no matter the circumstance, and it comes from their creator, you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, you're dismissed. Have a good week. Woo!
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.